Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Joshua, chapter 1. Joshua, chapter 1. Glad to have Rodney and Terry back with us, Terry. We'll greet you as you go to the nursery. Good to have them back. Still got a lot of folks out, a lot of empty seats today, and a lot of folks still sick, and maybe some you've not heard about, but there's still some not feeling well, and Dennis continues to recover in his therapy, and colds and flus and sniffles and all that's still going on in a lot of people's lives. So let's continue to pray for one another. We're in Joshua chapter 1, and we'll get back into John's gospel next week. We pause through the month of December focusing on the incarnation and the birth of Christ in the Old Testament. And since this is New Year's Eve, we're about to venture into uncharted waters, right, into 2024, a brand new year. I wanted to pause before we go back to John's gospel and hopefully bring you a message of encouragement this morning, a message that will challenge you and encourage you as God's people, as the church, as we move forward into this brand new year. We're in Joshua, we're in chapter 1, and we'll begin reading in verse 1. Joshua chapter 1, beginning in verse 1, the inspired and inerrant and infallible Word of God reads, "After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, 'Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am given to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness in this Lebanon, as far as the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go.'" Let's pray. Father, perhaps now more than ever in the history of this country that you've ordained us to be in, at this point in the history of the world, at this time and in this place, I find no greater comfort than your words to your servant Joshua. Your word is full of hope for your church. Your word is full of promises for your people. But directly as you spoke to your servant at this time, Lord, I pray that your Spirit will speak to our hearts as your followers, as your church, as your people. And give us the same strength and the same encouragement that you brought to your servant Joshua. Help us to see truth and to receive truth for the glory of your name. I'm weak. I have no idea about what I'm about to say. So Holy Spirit, I'm asking that you intervene and give me the unction and power that only comes from you. And bring to my mind and my heart the words that you've given me as I've prepared and prayed for over this passage, that I would bring them to your people for your glory today. Speak to us all now, in Christ's name. Amen. We're facing another year, another new year. It's a time of excitement for many people. There'll be joy. There'll be happiness, prosperity. Many events in our lives that'll bring happiness and excitement to all of us, and to our families, and to our friends, and to our loved ones in this coming year of 2024. It'll be a year of excitement, and there's many people that are excited about it. We can't wait for tomorrow. We can't wait to see what God's going to do next. There's so many things going on in our lives, so many things in our families, and we're excited to face a new year. But for other people, it's not a time of excitement. For many people, even many of God's people, it's a time of despair. It's a time of worry. It's a time of suffering, fear, anxiety. There's many people who do not like New Year's. They don't want to see that New Year come in because they don't know what it holds and they don't know what to expect. And they don't want to face another reality of destruction and chaos that they perhaps have experienced in the year of 2023. And they're discouraged. And they're, again, in a state of despair. They're not very happy about 2024. Just within the last week, I was reading some headlines to the news that my wife always tells me, don't do that. Don't read those headlines because it always makes you mad. Your blood pressure goes up and all you do is get in a grouchy mood. She don't want to be around a grouchy preacher. But I read some of the headlines to her just showing the condition of the world. And I'll see things, and I don't always read the articles or hear the whole story, but I'll read the headlines that just gives me an indication of the state of the nation, the culture that we live in, society as a whole, and how bad things are. A couple visiting from South America is eating in a public like in a mall, the eating where all the restaurants are, food court. Eating in a food court with their two daughters, 14 years old and 16 year old. Perhaps you read this, and a man comes in wielding and screaming hate towards white people, and he stabs the two daughters. One seriously injured, both expected to live, but one very seriously injured as it pierced her lung. Or the 100 of Christians over in the Middle East who were attacked as a part of a game of a group of terrorists, a group of Muslims who centered out these people because they were Christians. They were our brothers and sisters. They were the martyrs that we read about in Revelation. And they were killed because of their faith, because of their trust and love for Jesus Christ. For no other reason, as a sporting event, they sought them out and killed 100 of them. Just last week, crime, violence, manipulation, corruption in government from the people that's supposed to be looking after us. We talked about some of that a few weeks ago in the Old Testament. Those who are supposed to be looking after the people, looking after their own best interest, and we see that getting worse and worse in our nation. We don't want to face tomorrow. We don't want to face another new year. There's enough of that stuff going on already. Killing, evil, violence, corruption. Why would we want to face 2024 when there's already enough bad things going on? That's what a lot of people think about a new year. Many people are excited. They like it. Many people don't like it. They're in despair. But how should we as God's people, how should we as Christians respond? What should be our reaction to a coming year? Should we have fear in our hearts, the uncertainties of tomorrow, not knowing what 2024 is going to hold? Should we live our lives in fear and despair and doubt, holding our heads down as if nothing could get worse? Well, the answers are resounding, absolutely not. I believe there's many reasons throughout the Bible, but in our text this morning, that would tell us we don't have to fear, we don't have to stress, we don't have to be in despair as we face 2024. Now, this text that we read in Joshua took place about 3,400 years ago. That's a long time. A lot has changed, hadn't it? But guess what? There was a lot of bad things going on then. There was a lot of corruption. There was a lot of crime. There was a lot of evil. There was a lot of wickedness. There was a lot of violence. There was a lot of devastation. But I believe even though it was written to God's people 3,400 years ago, it's just as true and it's just as relevant for us today as when these events occurred. Let me give you the context. Remember, Israel has just been delivered from the Egyptian bondage. They've been in the wilderness for 40 years wandering around. That first generation died out because of their unbelief, and because of their unbelief in God, they were not able to enter into the promised land. So they've wandered around in the wilderness for 40 years. Verse 1 tells us that Moses has died. They're just east of the Jordan River. They're about to cross over into the promised land, the land that God had promised to give to His people, to the forefathers. This is what they had all been waiting for. And notice at this moment, they're on the brink of a new year, you could say. They're on the brink of the promised land that God has promised them. Just as we're standing on the edge of 2024, they're standing on the edge of the promised land. And notice what God says. Here's his marching orders. Here's the last thing God says to Joshua before he goes into that promised land. He says it three times. Now, he says much that we're going to go through, but this, he says this three times to Joshua. And if this is the last thing someone has told said to you before you went through a major event or experienced a major event, you would think, okay, if he says this three times, this must be important. Verse 6, verse 7, and verse 9. God Almighty himself says to Joshua, be strong and of good courage. Be strong and of good courage. After all you've just been through and all the plagues that you saw and experienced in Egypt, and all the wandering around in the wilderness, and the attacks and the threats and the dangers that you experienced. Now you're going into a land where they perceive you as grasshoppers. And they're mighty and warriors and people that you're going to face and do battle with. He tells Joshua, be strong and of good courage. Now what does that mean? It means to stand firm. Stand firm, Joshua. Stand firm in the faith. Stand firm in your trust in me. Stand firm in your convictions. Stand firm in the truth. He's already told Joshua. In fact, Moses told Joshua this same thing coming from God back in the book of Deuteronomy. You read this to the continuity of the narrative. Back into Deuteronomy, Moses tells Joshua, I'm not going to go. You're going to be the next leader. And he tells Joshua, be of good courage. Be strong. Paul tells the church in Ephesus the same thing to God's people. Be strong. He tells young Timothy, be strong. Be courageous. In other words, stand firm in the faith, the truth that you know to be true, the Word of God, your convictions. Stand firm. Be courageous. Be strong. Now, folks, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I believe that just as God sought to encourage Joshua in a time of uncertainty, facing things that he didn't know what all was going to happen, he didn't know what he was about to experience, I believe he would also have us to face the uncertainties of 2024 with these same words. And if we'll consider these things that I'm going to point out to you this morning, I think you too can face 2024, not in a time of despair, but as a time of anticipation and excitement for what God is going to do in this coming year. Just like the Israelites faced the uncertainties of the promised land, we can face the uncertainties of tomorrow, of the entire year of 2024, with the confidence and assurance of God. Notice, first of all, if we're going to face 2024, a brand new year, we need to do two things. Number one, we need to remember God's promises. Remember God's promises. God is trustworthy. When he makes a promise, you can bank on it. It's going to happen. Notice the promise that he makes to Joshua. Number one, the promise of his providence. In verse 5, he says, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Now, I don't know how God could have comforted Joshua anymore at this point. Joshua knew from personal observation that these Canaanites that he's about to face, those who inhabited the land that they were about to receive from God, they were not pushovers. Joshua saw firsthand they were mighty warriors. Remember, he was one of the 12 spies that God, that Moses had sent into the land. He and Caleb, the only two coming back saying, we can go because we're God's people and this is God's way and this is God's word and God's promise. The other spies came back and said, we're like grasshoppers. We'll never take this land. So Joshua knew these people were powerful. They were well-trained fighting machines. But he also knew that God was much more powerful. And he knew that God was much more able than these mere humans to accomplish exactly what he promised to accomplish. And Joshua went into the land. He went into the uncertainties, not relying on his own strength, but relying on the providence of God. And brothers and sisters, that's what I'm calling us to do this year. As my brothers, as my sisters, as Longview Baptist Church, we must face this coming year relying on God and not on ourselves. We can't depend on what we can do, but let's face 2024 depending and trusting in what God can do. Otherwise, God doesn't get glory. Again, you many of you are here this morning dreading another year. Don't want another year. Don't want another birthday. Don't want another this, another that. You wish we didn't have to go into 2024. You've got doubts and fears about the future, about world crisis, about the economy of our nation. Perhaps it's jobs. Perhaps it's personal health. Perhaps you've had a bad year of health and safety. But let me assure you and remind you of this. God will protect His people even through the most trying of circumstances. He will provide. He will provide care. He will provide protection that you need to face 2024. Just as He did Joseph when Joseph was in Egypt. Just as He did David. As David faced Goliath. David would say, "The battle's not mine. The battle's the Lord's." Just as He providentially preserve Christ Himself, the very begotten Son of God, as He walked through the midst of the mobs who sought to kill Him. And He would walk through their midst. They couldn't lay a hand on Him. Because of the providential care of God, it wasn't His time to die. God protects His people from harm. God protects His people even from death to fulfill His perfect plan. We don't have to fear tomorrow. We don't have to face it with doubt. We don't have to face it with despair. As Kenneth Ridings used to say, Caden, I'm sure he told y'all's class at Fruitland the same thing. We are absolutely immortal and indestructible until God has finished with us on this earth. Nothing can happen to us. Nothing can happen to us outside of His permissive will. We continue walking with Him. We continue facing the future with confidence, knowing that we're walking with God. We don't have to fear. God's providence is the number one reason we don't have to fear 2024. God says, no man, in verse 5, shall be able to stand before you. Why? Because God providentially protects and cares for His people. Secondly, there's the promise of His presence. Now, this is where I find great comfort. In verse 5 again, He tells Joshua, no man's going to be able to stand against you. But notice He says, as I was with Moses. He gives him an example of His promised presence. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Now, how was God with Moses? Sovereignly, lovingly, permanently, every way you can imagine. Just like a shepherd watching over his flock, God was right there with Moses the entire time. Moses cried out to God, I can't lead this people. Send someone else. I can't do this, I can't do that, I'm not eloquent of speech. Send someone else, God. But God said, Moses, you're it. And God said, I'll be with you. And I feel like Moses sometimes when he said over in the book of Numbers, God, if you're not with us, I don't want to go. But that's how we face 2024, with the promised presence of God. Joshua knew how God had been with Moses. Just as I was with Moses, Joshua, I will be with you. Joshua knew exactly what he meant because Joshua was, as you remember in our studies, Moses' assistant throughout all the Exodus, the wilderness wanderings. Joshua would go to the tent of meeting with Moses and Moses would go out and speak to the people the word of God, and the Bible says that Joshua would remain in that tent of meeting, observing, communing with God, and he saw what God did in Moses' life. It's like God saying to Joshua here, just as I revealed myself to Moses, so I'll reveal myself to you. Just as I led the people through Moses, so I will lead them through you. Just as I blessed Moses, so will I bless you. How would you like to be blessed as Moses was blessed? How would you like to have the presence of God to place you in the cleft of a rock and allow you the unthinkable privilege of seeing Him pass by in all His glory? The same God who promised Joshua that He would not leave him, that He wouldn't forsake him. The same God that the writer in Hebrews quotes from, speaking of Him never leaving nor forsaking. The same God who promises in the Great Commission, in Matthew 28, lo, I am with you always. That's our God. I shouldn't have to remind you of Psalm 23. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For you, God, are with me, the psalmist wrote. It's one of the best things about being a Christian. It's one of the best things about being a part of God's church, of being God's people. You're never alone. Never alone. I will not leave you. As I was with Moses, I'll be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Your spouse leaves you. God says, I will never leave you. I'll never forsake you. You're about to have triple bypass surgery. I will never leave you and I'll never forsake you. The doctor walks in the room and says, your cancer has spread. There's nothing else I can do for you. And he walks out of the room. And God says, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. You lost your house, you lost your job, you lost your family. I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. You read the headline news and it causes your blood pressure to go up and you act like a grouchy husband around your wife. And God says, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. The sky's falling, the bottom of the world's falling out. Islamic terrorists are blowing people up and cutting their heads off because they're Christians, no other reason. But because they're doing what we're doing here this morning, if they had the power and the ability to be in this land and control our land as they do in many parts of the world, so many acts of terrorism against us as God's people, they would come in and do the same thing to us. They would come in and demand that we renounce our faith in Christ, that we deny Jesus, that we reject Jesus, or face death. But yet God says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Governments, corrupt politicians begin stripping away our freedoms, corrupting our government and our nation even more and more, and God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Listen, we can face 2024 with the assurance of God's presence, the promise of God's presence. The thundering sovereign voice of God echoes through His church today, just as He did to Joshua. As I was with Moses, I will be with you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Now that's either true or it's not. He's either with us or He's not. If He's not, I'll be the first one out the door. But I assure you on the authority of God's Word that God is with His church, with His people. Look at verse 2 real quick. Moses, my servant, is dead. God's not dead. Moses is dead. So be of good cheer. Moses was a servant. And just as God was with him, He promises to be with His people today. So if you're a born-again child of God, you can face 2024 with excitement, not with despair. So the first thing we need to do to face this year of uncertainties, brothers and sisters, listen, remember God's promises. But secondly, there's another step. You can't just stop there and remember God's promises. Number two, you got to believe God's promises. In other words, don't just remember the promises, respond by faith to those promises. It's easy. In fact, it's very superficial for me to stand here and to tell you to cling to God, hold on to God, everything's going to be okay. I mean, God's in control, and you just say, well, just believe this, and or just remember what God said in His Word, and everything will be fine. We've got a responsibility to believe. We've got a responsibility to respond when it comes to our faith and our walk with God. This is what it means to walk by faith. Remember His promises. Believe those promises. How do you believe God's promises? First of all, we must meditate in His Word. Verse 8. Meditate in His Word. This verse 8 says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. This word meditate means to ponder, to reflect on. It's a cow chewing the cud. You constantly rehash and reiterate what you read and the promises that you read in God's Word. Just as a cow chews the cud, we should meditate on God's Word over and over and over in our lives. You ever been around a person that's eating ramps? Onions, even just onions, a lot of garlic. Just eat a lot of garlic. And they do it constantly. You get around them and it almost they reek of it. It's just coming out like it's coming out of them. You've been around that? You smell that? That's the same responsibility we have as Christians to God's Word. Meditate on His Word so much that it's just coming out of our lives. The way we live, the way we talk, the way we act. We've so consumed ourselves and meditated in the Word so much that it affects the way we behave. It affects the way that we live. As we eat, as we work, as we drive down the road, as we go about our daily activities, just meditating on the truth of God's Word and the promises that are found in His Word. Let me tell you just how important this is to meditate on the Word of God. Joshua was about to go into the Promised Land and lead his people into battle. Now, these men were untrained in battle. They were unskilled. These weren't military mighty warriors. All the first generation had died out. The younger generation that had come up in those 40 years of wilderness wandering, they had no experience in military battle whatsoever. Totally inexperienced. The only experience you had was Joshua and Caleb. They were the only two left that were capable. Untrained, unskilled, unfit for warfare. But God doesn't say, Joshua, train those young men for battle because you're about to face a lot of enemies in that land of uncertainty. He says, meditate on the law. Meditate on this word. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but meditate in it day and night. The main responsibility he gives to Joshua, meditate on the law. Folks, that's what we must do. Meditate on God's word. Meditate on the promises that are found in his God's word. Don't just remember them, but believe them. Meditate on his word. And then secondly, obey his word. Not just meditate on the word, but obey the word. Verse 7. He tells him again, be strong and very courageous that you may observe to do all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. He says it again in verse 8. You must meditate on it day and night that you observe to do according to all that is written in it. Now this is the hard part of Christianity. This is the part we don't smoothly transition to. We see it, we believe it, we trust it, but then the obedience part kicks in, right? At the time of Joshua, the law of Moses, that was all the scriptures the people had. We've got the entirety of God's word now. We've got the Old Testament scriptures and the New Testament scriptures, we call them. I call it God's word. From Genesis to Revelation, it's God's word. And I believe it's just as important for us to obey all the written word as Joshua was to obey all what was written at his time. Some people think they can pick and choose and believe what parts of God's word that they want to believe and what they want to obey, what they want to adhere to. I'll take a little bit of this grace, but I'm going to leave that judgment part out. I'm going to take a little bit of do this, but don't do that. I'll leave that part out. All of God's word. Be strong and courageous that you may observe to do all the law. Strong and meditate in it day and night that you may observe to do all that is written in it. What we need, I believe, as we face 2024 are not just professing Christians in the church, but we need obedient Christians in the church. Making a difference in the church, making a difference in the communities. Obeying the entire word of God. Otherwise, we're just hearers of the word, as James wrote, and not doers of the word. Let me close this way as we lead into the Lord's Supper this morning. Longview, as we face 2024, if I drop dead before I finish this sermon, if I drop dead before tomorrow and you don't see me in 2024, be strong and of good courage. Many people dread another year. They're afraid to face tomorrow. But what I want you to do is not faith, not fear, and not dread the uncertainties of a new year. Longview, I want you to remember God's promises, and I want you to obey God's promises. If I die tonight, that's my last word to you. Be strong and of good courage. Remember His word. Obey His word. He's faithful. He's true. He can be trusted. We must believe Him by faith and obey Him by faith, so that we'll be just as encouraged as the man Joshua as he led God's people into the land of uncertainty. But don't forget the responsibility to believe the promises and not just claim the promises, but truly believe them to the point of obedience. And that includes the responsibility of responding to the gospel, the call to repent, the call to believe. You're here today and you've never done that. You've never repented of your sins and by faith received Christ and believe that He died for your sins. That's where it starts. But for His church, those who have received Christ by faith, I say repent of your sins and believe. It's perpetual. It's ongoing. By faith you believe. By faith you continue to be. You're walking in a state of repentance. You're walking in a life of faith in Christ. Trusting in Him. for your salvation, trusting in Him for your sanctification, trusting in Him to carry you through this year of uncertainties. One of the greatest acts of obedience we could start this year off with is by observing this ordinance that Christ instituted for His church. On the night of His death, before He was betrayed, before He was arrested and betrayed and arrested and ultimately crucified, He left a sacred ordinance to remind us of His broken body that was broken for us, of His shed blood that was shed for us. And He tells His church, do this in remembrance of Me. And the Bible tells us, for as often as we do this, we're proclaiming His death till His return. We can start 2024 off not in despair, but as a year of anticipating the excitement of what God is going to do next by believing His promises, meditating on His Word, and obeying His Word. And I'd like for us to start the year off by doing this and observe by doing that by observing this sacred ordinance. Will you bow your heads and pray with me?